check. Okay, good to see everybody. Today we came because we knew it is not going to rain also, isn't it? So, just to build on that thought that we heard, turn to Acts chapter 4. I heard this passage from one of the budding amazing disciple, man of God. So I just thought I'll just retrieve that verse. Acts chapter 4. We'll read from verse 32. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Okay. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. What is it? Not just your soul, but your heart. One heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Now, I like verse 33. Two words. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Is that amazing? Great power and great grace. One heart and one soul. And what do we have here? Great power and great grace. One of the most amazing discoveries I made in my life, and I keep on making discoveries like this. One of the phenomenal discoveries is that God's throne is very secure. Number one, God's throne is absolutely secure in Psalm 97, verse 2. Number two, the gates of hell shall never prevail against the church. Jesus said that. Let's look at this one heart and one soul. There is number one, oneness in the Trinity. What is that? There's oneness in the Trinity. And I'm sharing what my pastor taught me, okay? So, he's discipled me, and so I share my faith. And we all do that, don't we? There's number one, oneness within the Trinity. The Father and the Son are not fighting for prominence on the throne. They have their place. Son is not saying, hey, that's my place, and he's sitting on Father's lap. I don't know. There's oneness in the Trinity between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Secondly, there is our oneness with the Trinity. John chapter 17 talks about it. Our oneness with the Trinity. This has to do with personal fellowship. Our personal fellowship. Isn't it amazing? We are called to enjoy this personal fellowship with God. And number three, we have our oneness with each other. That has to do with fellowship in the body of Christ. Fellowship in the body of Christ. Now I'll just read this passage to you, which is in 1 John chapter 1. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Verse 3. Okay. 1 John chapter 1. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. So Apostle John is probably writing this when all the other apostles have gone home to be with the Lord. But he's saying we are not reinventing the wheel here. What we have heard, we declare unto you. Now why? Hina, again, a purpose. That you also may have fellowship with us. Isn't that beautiful? And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Now why did John say these things? And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That our joy may be half, right? No, our joy may be full. These things write we unto you so that our joy may be full. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ taught us an amazing lesson, even at the cross. He taught us what humility is. What is it? He taught us what humility is. And again, further, little later, Apostle Paul relates this humility to the mind. He relates it to the mind in Philippians chapter 2. I'll read this. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man let him also look on the things of the others. How is this possible? Verse 5. Let this mind be in you. So humility is also related to our thinking. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Humility in this respect has to do with, what God is working in us in relationship to any area of self-exaltation we have. I'll repeat that again. Romans 2:11, Acts 10:34, God is no respecter of people. But God works in the virtue of humility, especially in the area of our thinking, if any area of our thinking has with it a spirit of self-exaltation. With the spirit of self-exaltation, there can never be the Acts chapter 4 verse 32, one heart and one soul. Now look at this, and I'll close with this. Because we are brought not just into one, recognizing our oneness in the Trinity, but also recognizing our oneness with the Trinity in terms of personal fellowship, we're also brought together as a body in terms of oneness with each other. Now, if we let through the lowliness of mind, you know, who I think I am, any tendency for me to think who I am outside of who God has made me to be, God teaches us in our sanctification with much love, much tenderness, to put it at the cross. That's Romans chapter 8 verse 13. We through the Spirit learn to mortify the deeds of our flesh. And if we through the Spirit learn to mortify the deeds of the flesh, the Word of God says we shall live. We shall live. We shall live. Now we are going to hear Pastor Shivili, and I'm sure Pastor Shivili he'll make us sing things or say things like as Felix beautifully said. Maybe he'll make us sing a song in the midst of the battle. But we shall live. We shall actually live. Okay, now look at this. One heart and one soul. That has to do with number one. For if that has to happen according to Philippians chapter 2, 1 to 4 and Colossians 3, 12 to 14, it must be in the light of my thinking. And there I am taught to think as Jesus Christ himself thought. And how did he think? There was the lowliness of mind. It is necessary for fellowship and one-heartedness and one-souledness, whatever, in the body. It is necessary for humility to be worked in order for that, or else that cannot be naturally produced at all. Now look at this. I like verse 33 of Acts chapter 4. Because of this one heart and one soul, what was the body of Christ characterized by? Great power. They had tremendous power for their mission. And what was upon them? Great grace was upon them. You know, so God teaches us to understand the oneness that exists in the Trinity. Oneness, our personal oneness with the Trinity. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And why do we communicate this? So that you may have fellowship with us. And therefore there is oneness with each other. And the oneness with each other has to do with our practical sanctification of learning, humility, through the process God initiates in our lives. I'll repeat that again. The process that God initiates in our life can necessarily, of necessity, may not be always welcome, because that process involves producing brokenness in us. But when we submit to the process of God in our personal lives, there is something phenomenal that get worked in us, and then it begins to affect the body of Christ in a collective way. It works in humility. And any area of self-exaltation, God has to bring me to the cross so that in that area I learn to live before God. When this humility is worked in, that is the reason why there can be Philippians 2:1-4, there can be unity or oneness with each other. Now imagine a body of Christ like that. I'm not speaking about an ideal condition. I'm speaking about a practical condition. The only idealistic condition exists in the Trinity, by the way. We want to know what perfect unity is? Let us think about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the only place where everything is ideal and perfect. What are we? Felix said it well. We are a mess. But what does God do? He works with that mess. He doesn't give up on us. He works with that mess, and he beautifully works in such a way that we learn what a personal fellowship with God is, and we also learn what the mystery of fellowship actually that exists in the body of Christ, for which the spirit of humility is critical and not a spirit of self-exaltation. Now because of that, Acts 4:33 happens. The church comes together with a mission. What did the apostles give witness to? The resurrection. Imagine going and telling somebody, I just want to tell you that Jesus rose from the dead, okay? The other person will tell me, what's wrong with you? You look like you're ready to be buried. But imagine a sense of delight communicating resurrection with great power giving witness. You know, God works in that. But for that to characterize me personally, it has to be the importance of the body of Christ in my life and the importance of my unity with the Trinity. When that is there and this is there, with great power, we give witness to resurrection. What is upon each one of us? Great grace. And what do we do as a result of the church? Because of that, what do we end up turning out to be? We end up turning out to be, right in the midst of mess, Proverbs 14:4, we end up turning out to be a tremendous army for the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 5. I have beheld the order of your faith. It has to do with the ranks in the army. Beheld the order of your faith. Think about that. When there is that beautiful thing within, and conferences do that for us, we are brought into a tremendous sense of unity. And unity is just unity in the Spirit of God is just not possible outside of the process of humility being worked in. When that happens, God says, now I'm going to bless you with great power. We have power for our mission. No, this church, thank God, all the more it will thrive, because that's what our pastor prayed for. All the more it will grow, because that's what our pastor prayed for. It was not easy when he discipled the chief of sinners, a bunch of us here. It was not easy. It was very, very difficult. But you know what? We'll keep going, we'll keep going, we'll keep galloping, and we'll keep triumphing. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. That is what the body of Christ is all about. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, I'm excited. Like, you know how Pastor Lee said, we live. We are not dead. I want to tell you that Jesus rose from the dead. No, we live. We are alive. With great power, we give witness of God. The commission that we have as a church, we have great power. God has given us great power for the work that He has called us to do. And guess what? There is great grace resting upon each one of us. We are alive from the dead. We are a people created for His name's sake, and we will triumph because Christ has raised us up, and nothing and the gates of hell shall never prevail against this church. And we are right on. Because that was the heart of God. That is the heart of God for our church, and that is how our pastor pastored us, with that same sense of burden and excitement from this pulpit. And that's why he labored for years without giving up. Is that amazing? So what is it that we can have? What is it that we can have as a result of that? What is it now we can have? I love it. It is called internally, ayayo. It's okay. God is secure. Trinity is right on. And we are one with the Trinity. 1 John 1:3. And we are also one with each other. Oh, Pastor Vijay, I love you so much. That message. We do that. Oh, we do that. We do that. And I'm telling you, let's do that spiritually, okay? Let's do that, and let's love one another fervently unto the purifying of us. See, 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, seeing you have obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ unto the purifying also of your souls, and this is even unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. Isn't that beautiful? You obeyed the truth unto the purifying, unto the unfeigned. Let's love, let's hold one another's hands. Let's be of one heart and one soul. Let's love one another. Let's forgive one another. Let's be tender and kind-hearted toward one another. Uphold each one in prayer. We are a family, and we are right on, and the gates of hell shall never prevail against the church. One heart, one soul, God characterizes us with. And as a result of it, we are going to be occupied. God will visit us with great power and great grace. Great power. Whatever transition God takes us through, the most beautiful thing is God will endow us, each one of us, with great power. It is there. It is there for them. It is right on. It is right on. It is there with God for our ministry. And also, great grace was upon all of them. But verse 33 could not happen without verse 32. Now that they were knit together as a body with one heart and one soul, God says, I'm going to visit you. With great power, bear witness of me, and there is great grace upon your life. That's who we are as a local church, and we will not back off. Isn't it? Yeah, I was talking, like, you know, I love when I see Pastor Anil worship leading and a sense of excitement, because you just know we are on fire for God. There is something here. The Spirit of God is here, and we are heading forward in the plan of God, and nothing will stop us. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we pray that we would recognize the oneness that exists in the Trinity, our personal oneness with the Trinity, but also our oneness with each other through a mindset of humility, and therefore you visit us with great power and great grace. Thank you that we are very much loved by you. You care for us. You have a plan for us, and you've made us to be part of a worldwide vision. And you do all things well. Thank you for who you are and what you're doing in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.